A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Mem Dalet, Sanhedrin 44b, pagination is 88. We're making reference to a statement at the end of the Mishnah on the previous daf. So we'll go back to Mem Gimel Amud Beis, pagination 86, to take a look at that. The Mishnah, really midway on the page, the first word on the line is haba, and then we begin. V'meinu yodea lehisvados, if a person doesn't know how to say vidui, how to do the confession before he is killed, executed because of a crime, so we want it to atone. So he says the vidui. Omrim lo, we tell him, emor, say, Tehei misasi kapara al kol avonai, say, may my death be an atonement on all of my sins. And we have this concept that sometimes a person's atonement can only come upon his passing. But in any case, that's the wording of the abridged vidui. My death shall be an atonement on all of my sins. We indeed implement this. If a person is going into a dangerous situation, a surgery that's risky, it's a calculated risk, he's allowed to do it, he's doing it. If he's not in a position to say the full vidui, he might choose to say the abridged vidui, which is very simple. When I die, whenever it may my death be an atonement on all of my sins. And if it's relevant for this particular time, so be it. If it's on a different time, in 120 years, so be it. But it's a simple statement. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda introduces a concept which is what we are going to discuss. Im haya yodea shehu mizumam, if he knows that these witnesses are fraudulent, Omer, he should say, may my death be an atonement on all my sins, except for this sin that they're accusing me of, because I didn't do it. Amrulo, the Chachamim said back to him, and this is how we paskin, Im Kain, if that's true, you who call Adam Omer Kain, everyone's going to say that, K'dei l'nakos atzmo, to save face, to put up a good front, and therefore, we do not have a person say that, even if he knows that he's innocent. Indeed, the Rambam codifies that in Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Gimel, at the end of the first halacha, Afilu yoda ba'atzmo, even if he knows, Shesheker he'idu alav, that they're saying falsehood, Kahu misvada, that is the wording of the vidui, and we have this concept which the Gemara will develop, that the person is accepting the judgment because he views it as the Torah's judgment, even if he doesn't recognize the methodology as being true. There's a quirk in the system, namely false edim, false witnesses. But nevertheless, he accepts that this is the divine will because the Beis Din did the proper cross-examination. They did everything, and somehow it got through. He recognizes that too as the hand of Hashem. And he doesn't want to cast aspersions on the Beis Din, that everyone should go ahead and doubt the validity of a court ruling. Let's see Sanhedrin, Mem Dalet Amud Beis, today's daf, pagination 88, towards the bottom of the page, counting up from the wide lines, about 10 lines. The first word on the line is Yisrael, and then at the two dots, Im eino yodea lehisvados, if a person doesn't know how to say vidui, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda introduced the concept that if he knows he's innocent, he should say so. And the Chachamim argued and says, everyone would do that, lenakas atzman, and that's not good. Asks the Gemara, v'yinaku atzman, what's so bad? Let them cleanse themselves. If they hold that they're innocent, let them say so. Says the Gemara, k'desh lalotzi laz al batei dinin va'al ho'edim. We don't want to create a trend here that everyone will do this and cast aspersions on the court system, and on the witnesses. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt a story. Maisa ba'adam echad, once happened that there was a person, shayatza lihareg, that he was going out to be killed because of a court case, due process, and he was found guilty. Omar, and he said, im yesh bi avon zeh, if I really have this sin, lo te misasi kapara l'chal avonosai, my death should not be an atonement on all of my sins. That's a really bold statement for a person who's being killed, who has nothing to gain. He's giving up his life. At least you give up your life, you get a good deal, you get an atonement. He doesn't even want that. He says, if I did this sin, meaning I for sure did not do this sin. Vim ein bi avon zeh, and if indeed I'm innocent, then my death should be an atonement on all of my sins. And Bezdin and the Jewish people who didn't react to my claims shall all be cleansed. They should be clean. I recognize they did everything they could to try to expose the truth. But the witnesses, they should never be forgiven. Now, he was obviously saying something so bold that it's startling. It's like, maybe he's innocent. When the sages heard, Amru, they said, Alach Zero Iefsha, we cannot reverse the ruling. It seems that they wanted to. It was like, whoa, like this is something to take into account. And they said, we can't. Shekvar nigzur gezeiro, the ruling is in. And unless you have something of substance to prove innocence, so there's nothing we can do. We'll see more in a moment, because anybody can do that. Anybody can put up a good front. Ela yehoreg, we have to kill him, because that's the ruling. V'yei kular talui b'tzavar edim, and the guilt is on the neck of the witnesses, because they were able to trick the court. Again, there was full cross-examination. If they have any doubts, they would revisit the case. But they were convinced. It's the oddball case that it got through on false edim, so it seems. Pshita. Well, that's obvious, the Gemara answers. Or, I should say, objects. Kolkamine. What's the difference? He's making the statement. We don't get fazed by these types of statements. Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, this case was only needed to Kahadri Buhusadi. The witnesses themselves are shocked into saying the truth, and they admit that they lied. Says the Gemara, that's not very workable. V'chi Hadri Buhu Mayavas. So what if they say they lied? Once a person presents his testimony in Bezdin and is done with the cross-examination, he cannot change his statement. Once he makes a statement, it's binding. There is a concept that if Bezdin looks to clarify something and he clarifies it, and it's not a contradiction to what he's saying, so then the Radvaz, for example, in Hilchas Eidus, Perek Gimel, Halacha Hey, of the Rambam, writes, Im yesh b'loshen shtei mashma'os, if there are two meanings to what you said, ne'emonim, it would make sense that you're able to clarify what it is that you meant. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a case brought where a person said testimony, and Bezdin wanted verification that in general he has a good reputation, that he's not a Ramai, he's not a trickster, he's a good character reference. So they brought in Edim, and the Bezdin worded the question in a way that the Edim didn't understand what they were being asked. The Beis Din said, Yodim atem bo shehu ramai. Do you know about him that he's a trickster? And the Edim said, yeah, meaning he's good, he's okay. On the topic of tricking, he's trustworthy. So the guy says, you know, you just said that I'm a tricker. Because they asked you, am I a tricker? And you said, yes. So they said, no, that's not what we meant. And the Mechaber says that because people do not bring in character witnesses of people who would so boldly say, yeah, he's a tricker, and they're explaining themselves, so that's there's still room there. But in general, if a person says testimony, it's binding. That's it. It's over. Lo tzricha, says the Gemara, this chiddush was needed. Even though they explain themselves, they explain why it is that they lied in this testimony. And in parentheses, like the case of the tax collector, Rashi, there's a very long Rashi here, the left-hand column, where he explains that there's a story, however it came to be, but the son of Shimon ben Shattach was accused, and the Edom managed to trick the court. And even though they later backed out, the son of Shimon ben Shattach was killed because of the ruling of the Beis Din, because they were not able to reverse their statement. That is what our Gemara means, that if the condemned makes a statement and the witnesses want to retract and agree that they were indeed lying, even then we can't undo the ruling. So the ruling is very serious and the ruling is binding. It's worthy of mentioning that ultimately we're not acting on the words of Edom because we trust them. We're acting on the words of Edom because the Torah said so. The Torah says, Al pishnayim Edom yakum davar, through two witnesses things shall be established. And the Torah also gives us a rule, Kevin shehigid shuven achozer magid, once they say the testimony, they cannot retract it. To compare it for a moment to American courts, there's a certain threshold, there are guidelines. How do you go ahead and do anything? The classic question, how do you know that we're not all a figment of our own imagination? There's a concept, can you verify it beyond reasonable doubt? And that's defined as responsible behavior. Nothing is ever proven. Even if the witnesses say they saw it, maybe they were both dreaming at the same time. It's beyond reasonable doubt, or whatever guidelines there are. And here also, in Jewish court, there's a guideline. The guideline is to act on the words of the witnesses, and once they say the testimony, they can't retract it. Maybe lots of reasons for that, whatever it is. But we're ultimately ruling on the court case because of the Torah law, not because we trust them so much. And it would be interesting to explore what basis the Beis Din could revisit the case based on arguments of innocence. But in the case presented here, the Gemara is telling us that there could be such a case where the Beis Din has no basis to revisit the case other than the fact that the witnesses want to retract, and they give all kinds of reasons why they want to retract, and that it could be that the ruling is already binding and would have to be carried out. Very tragic description. Again, very long Rashi about the story of Shimon ben Shattach and his son. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.